The world of ministry to teenagers can offer a full range of emotion, interesting challenges, rewarding victories, and discouraging difficulty. It is important to remember that the work we do with students is vital. It is good to be reminded that what you do matters and is appreciated. We hope that the time you spend here will encourage you and equip you to hit the mark in life and ministry. Welcome to the SCOPOST Podcast, impacting youth ministry in Oklahoma and beyond.
Hey everybody, welcome to the SCOPOST Podcast. My name is Todd Sanders. I'm a student education specialist at the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, and I'm here in studio with
Mike Romero
and
Jack O'Brien
and
Brandon Montgomery.
Hey, it's good to have you guys back for a second part, kind of a follow-up to when you were here before and we talked about worship and kind of talked about your new project, okay? Still encourage you to check it out online, Win the Skies. Great music. Great message pointing us to the truth of Christ and what God wants to do in and through our situations. And so I can't talk enough about it and how good it is. So thank you guys for giving a little more time that you're here with us again. And we're going to carry over that conversation that we talked about last time about how to give leaders practical advice on how to hand over worship ministry to students. But I want to start this way. All of us, and we said this last time, all of us, someone did that for us at some point. So, and Jack, you can start. When was the first time someone handed over ministry to you and just helped you get your start in music ministry, leading worship?
For me, Mike was my student pastor, and so...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That was a total joke. Total joke. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. Mike was your student pastor. Carry on.
And so, from a pretty young age in junior high, I had shown interest in music and played an instrument or two. And so I think it wasn't all at once that I had the opportunity to play on stage or to lead worship, but it was more giving me opportunities in small ways to grow. So from going from doing maybe playing keys in a smaller Bible study before going onto the stage on a Wednesday night or whatever, and giving opportunities for me to fail and to grow and to try new things, but not in the way of just kicking me out of the nest right away. And so that was helpful for me, I think, to kind of ease into those situations that are intimidating, especially for a younger student who hasn't been in front of his peers before in that way. And then from there, we just, honestly, it was more of him just kind of taking me under his wing, and not just in the setting of leading worship, but just in life. And as we did mission trips together and did camps and retreats and we're in all of these different settings using different tools to create worship in on a mission trip in Galveston or at a camp ground where we had different things each time, different pieces to put together. I think that's really how I learned to be adaptable and to fail and to grow in a safe setting where somebody was walking through life with me and not just not just using my abilities, but kind of holistically discipling me.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're going to get me amped up here talking about that. That is so, so good, because so many, often we focus on the like assignment or the task or the administration of this thing, and we wholly miss the point.
Yeah.
That it's about investment and relationship and life on life and growth and pointing you as a disciple in this. And then those service opportunities come out of that. That's so good. So good. Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I actually had a moment, and it happened last night, where something I totally forgot about. A guy named Evan Dare, he used to be the student pastor at Chisholm Heights, and when I was going to OBU, a bunch of us would go out there and help, and I actually started working with him, and that's the first place I led worship. Like, you know, like, I mean, and I actually was playing a keyboard, which is really funny. You know, this is before I even knew how to play a guitar. And this is where it gets crazy. This is really crazy. South Lindsay Cabin, the first time I ever led worship at Falls Creek was in that downstairs of that cabin. and totally forgot about that until when I was walking by last night. I'm like, that's the first time I actually ever led worship on these grounds, and the first time I actually led worship, you know. So I mean, I'd helped out in other ways and whatnot, but that was the first time he, you know, I was really just helping him, kind of assistant, and then got into, you know, he needed someone to do music, and I loved music, I was passionate about it, but he's like, man, why don't you lead, you know? And you know, you look back, and I'm like, gosh, that dude was, you know, young Mike was stupid. You know, like, I mean, there's so much I would, you'd want to change, and all the stuff you wish you would have done differently. But it's like, on the flip side, you're like, but no, that's exactly who I was at that moment and where I needed to be. And I think about what Jack was saying, that like someone who just kind of was bold enough to take a chance and trusted you to lead, you know, the hearts of their students, you know, yeah, and so I'm kind of nostalgic and grateful to this that dude Evan. Like, I mean, like that actually was a turning point for me that I had no clue would actually give me a taste for worship that would, you know, grow deeper and become what it is now, you know. Because at the time, I mean, I just thought I'd do student ministry. I didn't, you know, I knew that I had a calling into ministry and whatnot. But it was that same story where providing opportunity, but also, man, pushing me, because I was scared, you know, just scared. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing, you know, and I'm not good, you know, and I just don't know what I'm doing. But you can, and we need someone to lead. You're the man to do it, so do it, you know. And grateful that someone pushed me, pressed me, you know, and encouraged me to do that. And same thing, allowed me to do that in a safe setting. You
right.
know, like, wow.
Right. Yeah. So good. So good. Brandon, what about you?
My story is actually very similar to Jack's, because we were both students in Mike's ministry. The first memory I have, I think, with Jack and Mike is the three of us, I think, were at some camp somewhere in Texas, and Jack and I were just messing around on guitars, and Mike noticed that we were playing and, like, made a shaker out of a water bottle with rocks and joined in. And like Jack said, I don't think it was an immediate thing, like, okay, now let's you guys lead worship at the cabin. But it was then at the beginning of this investment process that wasn't always focused on music, and a lot of times it wasn't. Because I think that's really important, like Jack said, holistic discipleship. And I think when you can recognize who helped you in your own life get where you are, it becomes so important to you to pour back into the next generation, which is something we're really passionate about. And I think myself, I try to fight against this lie, this, I think, American idea of being self-made. Because I think everybody has had someone help them along the way. And like these guys are talking about, give them an opportunity to lead. Even though you might fail and you might embarrass the person that gave you that opportunity, like, it's still important to have that chance and to have those nerves and to be like, man, if I mess this up, it's going to be terrible and I'll be so embarrassed. But that's just the door you have to walk through, and trust the leader that's been developing you, and trust God, and at some point trust your own skill. But I think that was it. And then just, we started leading on and off at the youth ministry on Wednesday nights. And then, you know, we wrote songs together and ended up recording them and doing this.
Yeah. So. Awesome. So this is a great example with the three of you guys sitting here of kind of what we're talking about. And so just kind of we'll move into some practical things. As you guys think about your experience and think about the churches that you work in, and this is constantly a question that we get or talk about. It's like, how do you guys even do this? How do you guys get to a point where you're developing kids to lead in this way? I'm not musical. I'm sure, I don't know about Evan's musical capabilities, but I know that I have a little bit of musical side to me, but there's no way I could develop musicians to lead worship and that kind of thing. But have had kids lead worship over the years I was in a local church. So what are the practical things? So Mike, you as a youth minister to these guys, and having them and doing that process with them, obviously you have musical ability. This is something that's in your background. But what are the encouragements of, like, hey, what are, you know, step A, B, and C that you would say, looking ahead to handing over ministry, developing students to lead that way, that you would say, do these things to leaders that are listening?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, open your eyes, take a look at what's happening around you, you know, and listen. You know, anyone working with students knows that, you know, like, you know, each one's wired differently. They all have this set of gifts. And, you know, and when you actually look, you can start to see it, a glimpse of it. And then not being afraid to start to a dialogue about that. Like, okay, this is an interest. First of all, it's a great connection for the relationship. You know, I mean, these two guys play guitar. They're playing a blues lick on the front of a cabin at camp. You know, so it's like, okay, let's talk music. You know, because it gives me this level of a layer to peel. You know, to peel back and get to know their heart a little bit more. But that, the first thing I'd say is open your eyes and take a look at what's going on and listen. You know, like someone who's like hitting a table, someone who's like picking up the guitar. You know, or asking questions about tech, like about the words or about what is the sound. I mean, there's a reason they're asking a question. There's a reason why they're doing a rhythm on their legs or their table. There's a reason why they're just dinking around noodling on a guitar. There's something in them, you know, and so I would say that's the first thing is open your eyes and listen. The second thing is you know, and obviously talking and beginning a dialogue with them. But the second thing would be don't be afraid that they can't play or that they can't or that they've never done it. But like maybe I'd say it like this. For me, it was always that I could see a student and I'm like, what could be? What could be? You know, like, what if? Those questions, you know, and then allow your brain to race a little bit, you know, and to dream a little bit. And man, there's nothing more powerful than looking at a student and saying, you know what? I this is a gift. I could see you doing something with this. And man, what if we started to work with that a little bit and they come to life? You believed in them. You took a chance to believe in them and you spoke life into them. That's a game changer for a student. And anyone who works in student ministry should know that. It's like words matter. They're powerful, you know, and then you cautiously, and I stress the word cautiously, you know, I mean, you pour into them outside of that relationally, you know, and most important, the relationship with God. I mean, like, it's a great opportunity to like talk and dialogue about their heart. Where is it at? And here God has given you this gift. And what if, you know, he wanted you to use it for his glory and to do something bigger than with that. So that, but be cautious, you know, and don't just put them on a stage, but, you know, but rather, you know, like maybe start introducing them to people, start, or work in a smaller setting. I loved how Jack said that. Like, you know, we did a mission home, a mission trip type of thing where it's like, hey, you guys, man, why don't you, you know, it's safe. I mean, like we're unplugged, we're acoustic, you know, help me out a little bit, you know? And I think when you start to do little things like that, you start to understand the heart, you know, and teaching them that it's a privilege and a gift, you know, it's something that has to be earned. But you have to journey to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. That's good.
And I think sometimes I could see how a youth pastor might get caught up thinking, I'm not musical, so I don't know how to develop musical students, because I don't think that needs to be a stumbling block for you, because I think it's just the same as doing ministry in any other way. It's just the gospel, showing them the gospel. Like Mike said, like, loving a student through what they're going through and like mining gold out of them. So if that's musical, then yeah, you turn them towards music. But it's just like just doing youth ministry in general. Like that's what you're doing. You're showing them the love of God. You're developing a relationship and you're saying, I see something in you that you don't see in yourself and you're meant for something great. And so I think you can do that even if you don't know anything about music. And you're probably already doing that with students who aren't interested in music. So I think you do the same, and eventually, hopefully, there will be someone that can help them with the musical side of it. Or if not, you know, there's YouTube, which is amazing, or tons of churches have all these programs. But it's the same thing, I think, at the beginning. It's just working with that student, caring about them, saying, I see something in you, and God has great plans for your life.
Cool. Yeah, I think this is an area we fumble in a lot of times because it's not necessarily music, but it might be an artist. It might be a poet. It might be a writer. You know, I mean, there are all these giftedness areas or gifting areas that we overlook, I think, a lot of times. And so I think that that's well said. It's like just what you would do with any other kid. Just do it with that kid, but push them in this avenue or into this arena and kind of develop them that way. And you don't have to know about it. You just have to be for that kid, right?
That's exactly right. If I think of it like this, too, it's like, you know, you got your football player, your basketball player, the things that are like the high profile things that the student pastor goes to, you know, you see them there. Man, what about, stepping in, you know, going to the choir concert, going to the band concert, you know, or, you know, if they're doing something at counter, you keep your ears open and you find out what are they doing, where are they at. And it's the same thing as if you're going to go on a Friday night, you know, and just do life. And with all these people, you go and you just focus that energy at these other gifts, you know, and I think there is a mind block. I love the way you said you kind of just fumble that a little bit. I don't get this. You know what? Here's the deal. I've never been some super Joe athlete, but didn't stop me from going and being on the sidelines and cheering and yelling as loud as I could for my guys, you know, who were there, and, you know, for my girls in volleyball, just because you don't get it and you weren't, and you couldn't do it, doesn't mean, you know, in student ministry, that's not an excuse. You go where the students are. You go where they're passionate about, you know, and that's the same thing. You take that mindset that you would do for the areas that you understand, and you're like, oh, wait, this is a no-brainer. I can do this. All I'm doing is I'm going and supporting, you know, and just showing up. I mean, and that changes a student's life and perspective.
Yeah. Jack, what about you?
Oh, and I was just going to say on that, because I really like how Mike tied that with athletes. I think that when a student is a gifted athlete or is a gifted musician, a lot of times they are very aware of the fact that they have a certain gift or ability, and there are people in their lives praising them for that. And it's when you're, especially when you're young and you show talent in music, your family and people around you are constantly saying, oh, wow, like play that, like grab your guitar out and play a song. Yeah. You know, like you become very aware of that. And I think there's a danger there of, I see this with student athletes all the time, where they're told, oh, since you're so talented in football, you have such a great platform to use that to share the gospel. And I think the intention there is good, but what happens is this athlete is told that all you are is a good football player, and so use that to further the kingdom. But we need to be telling those kids, there is more about you than just a good football player, or there is more about you than a good musician. And that's what I needed, was for somebody to say to me, yes, you are gifted as a musician, but that's not all of who you are. And God doesn't need you, and we don't need your talent. But if you humble yourself, and along the way, there will be chances for God to use that ability, because otherwise it becomes the kid who's out there, you know, praying with his teammates because he thinks that that's the right thing to do, but really doesn't know anything other than he's been praised for being a great football player, and he gets even more praise if he does it with this mask of humility. And it's the same thing with musicians too. And then they graduate out of your ministry and they've just been the one getting the praise. And so Mike did a really good job of taking us and going beyond, oh, you're just a good musician and we want to use that to build up what we're doing, or but saying, like, there's going to be times where you need to step back from playing in the band because your heart's not in the right place right now. And if you aren't willing to do that because you think, oh, but if we pull him out, then the band's going to fall apart and we're not going to have worship on Wednesday night, then all you're doing is just building up that kid's ego, and you're not really serving the kid or your ministry. And so being willing to look at the person more than just the skill or ability that they have, that's going to do more for them than just constantly putting them out there and constantly using them for that gift.
I think that brings a lot of, and first of all, I thought it just got real in here because this is not a conversation we often have because we're always looking at churning out the thing. But I think what you guys touched on with this, you know, holistic discipleship, this is our primary role as youth workers, as youth ministers, as Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, is to disciple students. Yeah. So they might disciple students. And then it's whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. And so for me, I kind of looked at it as like, I'm kind of like, if I were going to choose a fictional character, I like to fancy myself as the pretender in that whatever I need to be at any given time, I want to be able to be that. And so it's like, how many whatevers can I fit in, you know? But it's like, so whatever you do, if you're an athlete, well, in that moment, use that for the glory of God. But that's not your identity as a disciple. Your identity is in Christ. You just have this thing that you do, and so through that, glorify the Lord. It doesn't give you any greater platform than the anime artist kid, or it doesn't give you any greater platform than, you know, maybe more public, but that, I mean, that's not the goal, is to see how public your platform can be. It's how authentic your walk with Christ can be. And so whether you're the lead worshiper and a musician as a musician, or whether you are interested in band, you know, and you play the trumpet and you are in marching band and you're the first chair or whatever. I don't even know really what that means, but because I never would have been that because I have no talent. But you know, I mean, I think that brings to light this idea of this is what we're to be about as youth workers and as we work with students, is to disciple them and then recognize in them these giftings and abilities and availabilities and say, how can we use it? How can we use the way God's made us to glorify Him and walk in obedience? So anything else that you guys would add to this conversation, just practically, that you would say to a leader? Like, I would encourage you, as you're looking at, from your perspective, Brandon, you're looking at what Mike did with you, one or two things you would say, leaders, do this. This is what Mike did with me. Do this. Like, very practically, from a practical sense.
I'd say be patient, and also don't be afraid to get into their mess. Don't stray away from the things that you might know are going on but don't want to deal with, but really get in there and figure out what's going on, because the student needs that. And you might be the person in their life that can get to that point with them.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, be patient. I think that's a really good word of advice too.
Just because, think about myself.
Yeah, we also feel the pressure. Sometimes I think as leaders, like, man, it just does not sound good, or it's not, you know, but that's not the point. I mean, the point is that we're developing people to serve the Lord with their giftedness, and it may come along a little slower at times and may not be as great if you're trying to do that, but be patient is really good. And also, yeah, for us to be youth workers who are willing to dive in. Otherwise, why are we doing the work that we're doing? why are we doing ministry if we're not willing to deal with a mess? So what about you, Jack? A couple of practical things.
It's something practical that we are constantly telling us student ministers or worship leaders trying to develop a student band is, don't think that there's a certain mold that you have to fill. So don't think, okay, here's the instrumentation that Hillsong United has, so we need a bass guitar and five electric guitar players and this and that, and how can we fill that mold with the people that we have? Look first at what tools you have, what people you have, what gifts and abilities they have, and then think, what can we build from here? Because that is going to send you on such a better trajectory than just trying to fill a certain mold that you think that you have to have. And a lot of times you might not have the same instrumentation, or you might not have the same technical resources that those big bands and churches are going to have. But if you look at the things that God has given you and the gifts that your people have, and build from there, then you're going to create a unique culture that doesn't exist anywhere else. And so we've had that where somebody will graduate out of the ministry who was a really great electric guitar player, and it's like now there's not really a clear protege to that person. And so maybe we'll go without electric guitar for a while, and we have somebody else who can play keys and create some really cool textures with that. Or maybe the drummer's gone and now we need to develop a new drummer, but we don't want to just throw some kid on the drum kit. So we'll start out with a hand drum or a box drum, or maybe a kid who's competent enough to just do a kick and a snare and ease into that next phase again, and don't think, okay, well, since this is what we've always had, we've got to fill these spots, but think, what do we have and how can we use that? And I have friends at a church where it's a small church plant, and they started with a worship leader with an acoustic guitar, and then they found out that this girl played violin, so they were like, oh, cool, let's throw the violin in. And then this guy came along who was an awesome jazz pianist, and they have put him, mixed him in. And it's one of my favorite worship teams. It has none of the pieces that you think that a regular worship team should have, but it's grown in this organic way, and it's unique to them, and it serves their people. And that's more important than fitting a certain sound or fitting some mold that you think you need to have in your student worship band.
Oh man, that's so good.
That's great.
And on that note, I'm trying to find someone to give me an 808 drum machine. Do you guys think? Do you guys think there's a future in me with an 808 drum machine worship?
Anybody can do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I think
awesome.
So.
Awesome. I feel so good now.
I was going to piggyback off for something Jack said, real fast, if that's okay. I think there's a tendency to think that we graduate.